Emily White, Inner Journeys, Am I an Extrovert or Am I an Introvert? In the first session, I talked some about the concepts of Carl Jung, and one of the terms he coined was extroversion and introversion. And we defined it in terms of where the psychic energy goes to. Psychic energy is the energy you have inside. So if your energy goes outward to the object, essentially you're an extrovert. The energy goes inward to the subjective, to the inner world, you're more of an introvert. That's your conscious attitude. That's how your ego deals with the world. There's nothing unconscious about these attitudes. These attitudes, as I said at the bottom, are very normal. And when they did research, they found they were about 50-50 distributed in the population, by and large. But young people tend to be more extroverted. Older people tend to be more introverted and should be more introverted, because it's the task of the second half of life to turn inward, to find inner journeys rather than outer journeys. So if you can't climb Holden Lake, at least you can do other things, read about adventures or write poetry or record your dreams. I would like today to talk for about 20 minutes and then to divide you up on the basis of your own choice into a group of extroverts and a group of introverts. And then you talk among each other so that you can find soulmates. Friends usually are of the same attitude. An extrovert usually has a friend who's an extrovert. But in marriage, the mystery is the other. And so you marry an introvert, let's say, or the introvert marries an extrovert, whichever. And then, after the first honeymoon passes, suddenly you look and you say, oh my God, all he wants to sit and do is read, and I want to go out and do 10 things, or he wants to do 10 things, and you want to stay home and write journals and poetry, see? And then you have to begin to work out the differences and not let it fall apart. You've seen couples where each one lives in their own life and they sort of live parallel lives, but they're not really interacting. Each one can learn from the other. The extrovert often says the introvert is too slow moving, makes transitions very awkwardly. I'm giving you these things so that you can test yourself whether you're introvert or extrovert. And the introvert says he's so superficial. When I say he, I mean he or she. So superficial, moves so fast I can't catch my breath. Carl Jung himself was an introvert. And many thinkers, scholars, tend to be introverts by definition. I'd say sportsmen and actors would be examples of extroverts. But whether or not you like to be with people is not the criteria. Introverts can love people just as much, just that they spend a different kind of time with people. I'd say the introvert likes to spend time on a one-to-one basis, has deep friendships. The extrovert can have a lot of friendships, can move more rapidly from one to the other. But both may love people just as much, you see. That has nothing to do with introversion or extroversion. Our culture is extroverted, rewards the extrovert, and makes the introvert look peculiar or odd. And since many artists also are introverts, they have the double thing of being looked upon as odd and having such a hard time making a living, just as an aside. The hobbies are different. The kinds of interests you have probably will diverge. And as you talk among yourselves, you might ask yourselves, what kinds of books do you like to read? What kinds of movies do you like to see? And if you are, let's say, in the extroverted group and you don't feel comfortable, feel free to move over to the introverts and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out. I've done this before, and you just talk among yourselves. But first I have to do a little more talking. and also answer a few more questions. How many here so far think they're extroverts? Mm-hmm. So the others all are introverts. Okay. I would say that the people who come to Holden are about equally divided.
Might ask the not sure category too.
Hmm?
How many people aren't sure?
Oh, aren't sure. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Maybe we should have a third group of ambiverts. That'd be good. Huh? Ambiverts. Yeah. Like ambidextrous, two hands.
Question regarding that. You know, there are times when I feel like I'm very introverted, and there's times when I feel like I'm very extroverted.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what pronoun is.
All right. The criteria is what exhausts you more, being alone or being with people or doing things in the outer world? What recreates you more? There are people who come home to change their clothes, figuratively speaking, and go out to another activity with people or without people. There are other people who spend time with people and then spend a lot of time alone to recreate themselves, write in their journal, write poetry, look out the window, whatever, you see? It's the amount of time you need to recreate yourself, whether you do this in an introverted way or in an extroverted way. Maybe you're an ambivert. It'll become clearer as you talk. Any other questions? It's not very clear at first. And everybody has both tendencies. But you feel more comfortable in one than in another.
What comes from an ambivert?
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, well.
Are there people who are both?
Quite a few people have it pretty well balanced and are both.
Yeah.
Perhaps in middle life, when you go from one attitude to another, you might be in a place where you're more ambivert. Maybe that's the ideal. Maybe you should be balanced. But the way Jung wrote, being an introvert, he spent lots of time. He sat by the water and he looked out at the water and he wrote lots of theories and he painted. And as I told you before, he built a tower and he carved in stone and he did a lot of things alone. In fact, he went so far as to put a flag, as he got lots older, he was 85 when he died, put a flag up when he did not want visitors. Yet he was an excellent therapist. He loved people. He had 5 children. He was a very good father, you see. But his inner life was so important that he had to have lots of space. We call it, give me space. You know, how much space do you need for yourself? People really differ in the amount of space they need for themselves. And, yeah. Any other questions at the moment? Yeah?
I don't know if I'm jumping the gun or if you'll be coming to this, but probably I didn't understand the true definition of extrovert and introvert, but I guess I never wanted to consider myself an extrovert because I thought it was almost a derogatory term because I equated shallowness.
Yes. Somebody who was a real introvert must have made this value judgment, which is made by the introvert, saying the extrovert so shallow, so superficial. Mm-hmm. It really isn't true. They're both different attitudes.
What would the extrovert say about the introvert?
The introvert says he's slow-moving, deep, awkward.
Sluggish?
Not necessarily sluggish, no. Slow-moving and sluggish, I think, are different. But too serious, too heavy, heavy. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah?
Are shy people, they say introverted?
I think shyness is another dimension which makes a person be more afraid to go out and face social situations and therefore appear more introverted. But it isn't necessarily the same.
Because many actors and actresses are shy.
Are shy, but they're basically extroverts. Oh, yeah. They have to be, for many reasons, they have to identify, well, don't have to be, but usually are. They get a charge out of standing in front of the audience, you see. And the charge is their psyche. When they're alone, they're learning lines so they can go out and do it. Now, there are variations, I mean, but still, okay.
Well, would you say that's true of all performers? For example, classical musicians. Now, you cannot actually enjoy the music you're performing to the nth degree unless you have an audience. Audience is very necessary.
Perhaps we could say that people, artists who are performing artists, are extroverts, whereas the artists who are the painters and the composers and the poets are the introverts. You see, you don't the painter doesn't need an audience, at least not right away.
I don't think the musician does either, except as sort of icing on the cake. Well, I don't think he absolutely needs an audience.
Yeah.
It certainly would fuel him, but it doesn't.
Well, certainly if he's a composer, he wouldn't.
Well, I've heard internationally known musicians say that, you know, to really put the interpretation into the music. I mean, there is a certain electrical charge between,
yes,
whether it's a small, you know, chamber group or not. You just it's very necessary often for your very finest performance and interpretation of music.
Oh, you're talking about a group of performers.
No, often in a group.
So let's be clear. Is that okay? Be clear that it's not how much you are with people or whether you like people that's the touchstone. The touchstone is what recreates you, how much, where do you feel more comfortable? Do you write a journal? Do you have to sort of digest every experience? Or can you go quickly from one experience to another, and are you comfortable out in the world? I am speaking from a bias of an introvert, so I write long journals and stuff, so I wouldn't be interested in dreams if I weren't an introvert either. The extrovert thinks dreams and inner things are kind of either silly or frivolous or unimportant, or even they're afraid of it. And I think many extreme extroverts think that the whole, all of psychology is just sort of, well, it's, you know, not to be taken too seriously. They would be more interested in astronomy or geography or geology, you see. The other words, you can touch it. But, well, we can talk a little more. I'd like to talk for a minute about the books. They still haven't brought Man and His Symbols into the bookstore, but if you can be patient, Mary Schramm will be here Sunday, and she's in charge of the bookstore. The other book that I have brought is Jungian Psychology in Perspective, which is written by an analyst, Jungian analyst in Minneapolis, and it just came out. It's very clear, and it covers all of Jung's writings, but it's also expensive. I can't take orders if you wish. Jung's own writings are extremely dense. He was a good writer, but he wrote very complicated writings, so that Man and His Symbol is the only work that is written for the average layman who's not studying it professionally. He wrote one volume. He wrote 20 volumes, and volume 6 is devoted to types. And extroversion and introversion is one aspect of the typology. Now, I won't try to give you all of it because it'll confuse you. But after we come back, I'll talk a little about the functions. Because in addition to being extrovert or introvert, you can be more thinking or more feeling or more intuitive or more practical, you see. But right now, we're just going to focus on extroversion and introversion. And I'd like to have you ask a few more questions so that you could be sort of clear as to which group you want to talk with, think with, like John says. One other assignment for each group would be to describe, you should describe the dining hall where we all eat. You've all been there. And the way you will describe it will be rather interesting. We'll have a spokesman from each group come back and give the description, okay? So you elect yourself a spokesman who will report back how you describe the dining hall.
You're just talking about describing the dining experience with people in there? Are you talking about describing the structure or whatever?
It's up to you. That's what you pull out of it.
That's
So that'd be kind of fun. The other book, Mary Schramm's Gifts of Grace, I think I have it here, yeah. That is just a very beautiful book that essentially takes off where I leave off or underlines everything I've said. And the thing on the back says it all. There's a cross with the individual thumbprints. And so we are unique individuals under the cross, and we have gifts that we need to express and use in the service of the Lord and for Holden, at Holden. This one is, definitely, yeah. So, if there are no other questions, we can sort of divide up. Right, all the introverts on my right, all the extroverts on my left. Don't make any analogy with the Bible. Sheep and goats can maybe gather right back in here. Jung found that this helped him understand how he could work with different patients, and that it is an outlook that we find throughout history. He was even showing how different people looked at the world through extrovert or introvert lenses. Now, which group would like to report back first? Yeah, naturally. All right. It's about the dining hall. Okay. Would you speak? Could you stand up and speak loud? All right.
The activity in the dining hall isn't really that bothersome.
Papa, I will.
Good food, good companionship, and it's fun meeting people from all over. It's really neat. People make the dining hall. The staff clusters together, so all staff are eating here. Stop clustering. And there's a lot of rushing in and a lot of rushing out.
Okay. Short and sweet. All right, how about the introverts? What is your report?
Okay, that's me.
All right.
I guess I must be partly extrovert. I'm in front of the room. But anyway, we had some of the same things, but of course a lot of them were different. Someone noticed alternating colors in the dining room, noticed the glossy surfaces on the tables, posters around the room, reading the posters, noticed that... I guess the rushing in and rushing out was a little more explicit. Some people said it was like stampeding cattle. A lot of noise, the noise builds in the room, things like this. Some people would like it to be a little slower pace. And someone said the cooks are good entertainment. Notice it's a large hall, 200 people, short curtains, friendly atmosphere. The same conversations they notice at the tables. That if you go to different tables, you'll get into the same conversations. You don't get into too much depth.
A key sense. You got up too much depth, which is part of it.
There's 5 main questions involved in this, and I don't know the questions myself, but I'll be next time I go to the table. I'm sure I can just write them down. Okay. Now, someone said it's best late at night. And
would anybody over there like to be there later tonight? Yeah?
Dining hall's best late at night?
That's probably the same person. We all said it was probably dismal late at night.
That's wonderful.
Okay, quite a few people talked about the noise, and I guess that's about all.
Yeah. So the noise was essentially more bothersome here than there. There you felt it was a good atmosphere and good talk. Well, I think you feel the differences. I use this because I myself say amen to all of these and have trouble with this superficial conversation. I'd like to get into a deep one-to-one conversation, which you really can't do at the table. But you can do under the bell later on, so there's opportunities for everything. So did you find that you had other people that were like you? And I hope I didn't force people too much into two groups, but making a decision is part of this attitude, and that introverts, Introverts are slower in making decisions, but intuitives, and intuitive is a sub-function. Whether you're intuitive, you see possibilities. And most of the people in this ambivert group were intuitives, and they could be either here or there because they could see the possibilities, and therefore had more trouble making up their mind. I'm not sure what function was predominant among the introverts, but I had the sense that they were concerned with the texture, like the colors, and they noticed more things. They noticed more details, which was interesting. They may have had more sensation-type people in there, practical, aware of details. But all functions are on both sides. However, the fact that they noticed more details and were more disturbed by the noise is true to form, so to speak. But there's no value judgment. It's just that we tend to lean to one side or another. Yeah?
I have a question. Right at the top of this, start of this, you mentioned something about marriage choices and pair choices, about introverts and extroverts pairing out together. What was that? I missed it.
Oh, I'd like to talk about that some more. Is that okay now? Has it hold it up? All right. Friends tend to pair off in the same attitude. Friendships are usually among extroverts or among introverts, just by the very nature of their attitude. But the attraction, other things being equal, is usually the opposite. So that an introvert will marry an extrovert will marry an introvert. And it's marvelous as long as they're madly in love. But then when they begin to see that it's just Joe Bloke or Annie, whatever, then they have to start working at the relationship because each can give to the other and not live in separate worlds. Ah, there is the bell.
There's the stampede.
Today there's a picnic. Today there's a picnic, which is a special kind of stampede.